Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Thrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, The Law's Opulence, text number 14. Brahma Rishinam Bhrigu Aham Raja Rishinam Aham Manu Devarishinam Narada Aham Havidani Asmi Denushu Ramarshinam Brigorham Prajarshinam Aham Manu Devarshinam Nardoham Havir Danyasmi Denushu Ramarshinam Brigoraham Prajarshinam Aham Manu Devarshinam Nardoham Havir Danyasmi Denushu Brahma Rishinam, among the saintly Brahmanas, Bhrigu, Bhrigu Muni, Aham, I am, Raja Rishinam, among the saintly kings, Aham, I am, Manu, Manu. Deva Rishinam, among the saintly demigods, Narada, Narada Muni, Aham, I am, Havirdani, Kamudenu, Asmi, I am, Denushu, among cows. Translation, among saintly Brahmins, I am Bhrigu Muni, and I am Manu among saintly kings. I am Narada Muni among saintly demigods. And I am Kamudenu among cows. So, we'll just keep on reading. So, amongst the saintly Brahmins, he's Bhrigu. Among Manu, he's the saintly kings. I am Narada among the saintly demigods. And Kamudenu among the cows. So, Krishna also says this in Bhagavad Gita. Ayudunam aham Ayudanamaham Rajram Denunam asmi kamadu prajanas chasmi kandarpa sarpanam apivasuki. So ayuda namaham brajram. Among the weapons, what is he? The thunderbolt, the braj. Ayuda namaham brajram. Denunam asmi kamadu. Among the cows, he's the serpent. Yeah. Prajanas chasmi kandarpa. What does that mean? What's that?
Cupid amongst
the beautiful for the causes of procreation, he's Cupid. Prajanas chasmi kandarpa. Sarpanam apivasuki. Among the sarpas. What? Yeah, the serpents. And amongst the sages, he's Narada. Which verse is that? Where does he say that? We have Bhagavad Gita. Maharshinam Brigoraham. Maharshinam Brigoraham. Let's see, what's the next one? Maharshinam Brigoraham. Whole temple, we don't even have a Bhagavad Gita. It's one of those rare books in the Hare Krishna movement. Maharshinam Brigoraham Giram Asya. Giram asmyekam aksharam. No. Yeah, aksharam. Jagnanam japa jagnosmi stavaram asmi Himalaya. Stavaranam Himalaya. Maharshinam brigoraham giram asyekam aksharam. Jagnanam japa jagnosmi stavaranam Himalaya. So of great sages, I'm Bhrigu. And then previous to that, Asvatanam Savrikshanam Devarshinam Chanarada Gandharvanam Chitrata Siddhanam Kapilo Muni. So of the sages, of the Devarshis, he is Narada. Who else do we have here? So we've covered Bhrigu and Manu. I don't remember him saying he's Manu in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyhow, so we can go on. So many of these things are covered in Bhagavad Gita, but I am Lokapila among the perfected beings and Garuda among the birds. So where is that in Bhagavad Gita? Pavananam, Pavanam Pavatamasmi, Rama Shastra Ritamaham, Jasanam Marakas Chasmi, Shotasam Asmi Janavi. So that's not that one. And the one before this. Praladas Chasmi Daityanam. Varanam Yadasaraham. Pralada Kala Kaliyatamaham. Mriganam Chamagendoham. Vayanatetas the Pakshinam. So of the subduers, I am. Of the great demons, I am Pralad. Of the subduers, I am Time. Amongst the birds, I am Garuda, I guess. That's where it says amongst the birds he's Garuda. It's 10:29. 10:30. Among birds I'm Garuda. Praladas Chasni Daitanam Kala Kali Tamaham Briganam Chamriyendroham Pakshinam. Vayanateya the Pakshinam. So Vayanateya is another name for Garuda. And Kapila, of course, we've gone over that. And I'm Daksham on the progenitors of mankind. That's not in Bhagavad Gita. And Aryarma among the forefathers. Where is that? Anantas Chasmi. Naganam. Varnam Yadasamaham. Pitrinam Aryama Chasmi Yamasamyatamaham. So, which one is that? Anantas Chasmi Naganam. So what does that mean? Yes. Anantas Chasmi Naganam. Varunam Yadasamaham. What does that mean? Varuna. Varuna. No, that's Vayu. This is Varuna. Amongst the aquatics, I am Varuna. And Aryama, Pitrinam, Aryama Chasmi, amongst the head of the Pitris, I am Aryama, Yama Samyatamaham. And among the subduers is what they say here, dispensers of lore, I am Yama. So the departed ancestors, I am Aryama, and amongst the dispensers of lore, I am Yamaraj. My dear Uddhava, among the demoniac sons of Diti, know me to be the Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly lord of the Asuras. Among the stars and herbs, I am their chief, Chandra, the moon. And among Yakshas and Rakshashas, I am the lord of wealth, Kuvera. Seems like Krishna is just repeating what he said to Arjuna. He must have memorized Bhagavad Gita. I am Ayurvata among the lordly elephants. Among aquatics, I am Varuna, the lord of the seas. Among things that heat and illuminate, I am the sun. And among human beings, I am the king. It's the same thing as Bhagavad Gita. Purport. It is significant to know that Lord Krishna is represented within this universe by the Lord or Supreme in all categories. No one can be as aristocratic and perfect as Sri Krishna. Nor can anyone estimate the glories of Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is without a doubt the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Among the horses I am Utstrishrava, and among gold I am metals. I am Yamaraj among those who suppress and punish, and among the serpents I am Vasuki. O sinless Uddhava, among the best of snakes I am. Who? Try again. What's that? Ananta, yes. I am Ananta Day. Among the animals with sharp horns and teeth. Oh, this is far out. Obviously there's something wrong here. Among those animals with sharp horns and teeth, I am the... What's that?
Lion.
Yeah, it says lion. I never knew the lion had sharp horns. Must be a very special lion. Yeah, it means sharp teeth, actually. But shringi, I don't know what shringi means. What does shringi mean? Horns? Dumstra is teeth. Shringi must mean sharp, then. Among the social order, I am the fourth, or the renounced order of life. And among the occupational duties, I am the first, the...
Brahmins.
The Brahmins, yes. Tirtanam Srotasam Ganga Samudra Sarasa Aham Ayunam Danu Aham Tupura Gano Danu Smita. Among the sacred and flowing things, I am the holy. And among the steady bodies of water, I am the ocean. Among weapons, I am the... What's that? Thunderbolt. No, here Krishna forgot. And he changed his mind, decided here it was the bow. And the wielder's weapon I am. Here it says Lord Shiva. Got a little mixed up. Lord Shiva used his bow to completely cover with arrows the three demonic cities built by Maya Danava. Translation. I mean, Lord Shiva is among the wielders of weapon, I am. What does he say in Bhagavad Gita? Brahm. But here he says Lord Shiva. Among the residents, I am Mount Sumeru, and of impervious places, I am the who? The Himalayas. Among whole trees, I am the holy. Here it says fig tree. And among plants, I am those that bear grains. Oshadinam purport here indicates those plants that fructify once and then die. Among them, those that give grains which sustain you in life represents Krishna. Without grains, it is not possible to produce milk product, nor can one properly perform Vedic fire sacrifices without offering of grains. Among priests, I am... Who? I can't hear. No, he changed his mind again. Vashistha Muni. And among those highly situated in Vedic culture, I am Brihaspati. Among the great military leaders, I am Kartikeya. And among those advancing superior ways of life, I am the great personality, Lord Brahma. Among sacrifices, I am the study of the Vedas, and I am nonviolence among vows. Among things that purify, I am the wind. What's that?
Fire.
What else? Sun, water, and speech. So if you have to become purified, just remember there's wind, fire, sun, water, and speech. Worst comes to worst, just throw yourself in the fire. Everything will become pure. 24. Among the eight progressive states of yoga, I am the
samadhi.
Samadhi, in which the soul is completely separated from illusion. Among those desiring victory, I am prudent political counsel. Among processes of expert discrimination, I am the science of the soul, by which one distinguishes spirit from matter. Among all speculative philosophers, I am the diversity of perception. How many days have you been on the Lord's opulence so far? How many classes have you had on this? Because when I was here, a few days ago we were doing this. So this goes into, we're on text 24, so we're halfway done. A lot of opulences. Purport. Any science is based on the faculty of expert discrimination. By skillful definition of isolated and interactive components, one becomes expert in any field. Can anyone say what I just said? What did I just read? Obviously we didn't pick up on it. So let's read it again. Word at a time. Any science is based on the what? Yes, discrimination. Faculty of expert discrimination. By skillful definition of isolated and interactive components, one becomes expert in any field. So how do you become expert in any field? Yeah, and what else? You can discriminate, you can break them down. What else do you have to do?
Practice.
Let's read it again. By skillful definition of isolated and interactive components. What does that mean? Interactive components. Yeah, not only to break it down, but to also be able to assimilate how they fit together. It's not enough just to break everything down, but how to assimilate them also. So it's like if you want things to work nicely, you have to be able to understand what the value is of each component But then also you have to see how they fit together, how they work together. Like in Varnashram, you have to be able to figure out who's a Brahmin, who's a Kshatriya, who's a Vaishya, who's a Shudra. But then you also have to see how they're going to cooperate with each other. Now that you have four different divisions and they don't even speak to each other. I'm a Brahmin, I don't speak to anyone lower. Don't get near my shadow. Then you have to not only break things down, but also figure out how to get them to interact with each other. Ultimately, the most intelligent person can isolate the spirit soul from matter and describe the properties of matter and spirit as both isolated and interactive components of reality. Strange language here, I guess it's trying to be fancy. But basically, to understand what the soul is and how it's related to the material energy. How right now we can understand theoretically that we are a soul, and we can understand something about how the modes of nature are working, etc. But how it's all fitting together, that we have to understand too. The proliferation of innumerable philosophical speculations is due to different modes of perception within the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, Savasya Chaham Ridisanavishto Mataksmitira Jnanam Aponam Cha. The personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart and awards a particular degree of knowledge or ignorance according to one's desire and merit. As the Lord Himself is the basis of the mundane process of philosophical speculation, for He creates differing and alternating modes of perception within the conditioned souls. It is to be understood that one can acquire perfect knowledge only by hearing directly from Lord Krishna and not by hearing from conditioned philosophers who imperfectly perceive the creation of the Lord through the screen of their personal desire. So that's all quite simple. Sadvana rupa sarvasha shadhad bhavati bharata shadomau yo purusham yo yat shadas evasaha. That according to one's existence under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. In other words, according to the body, mind, and intelligence we presently have, we have a certain conception of life. And according to that conception, if one works according to that conception of life, then one will evolve another conception of life. For instance, Krishna summarizes it. He says that Sattva sanjayate jnanam rajaso lova eva cha pramado moha tamaso bhavato jnana eva cha. That when we work in the mode of goodness, the result is we get knowledge. And if we work in the mode of passion, then we become greedy. And if we work in the mode of ignorance, we get madness, delusion, and ignorance, foolishness. Or madness, foolishness, and ignorance. And then when we apply that, karmana sukritasyahu satikam nirmalam palam rajasastu palam dukam agyana tamasa palam. When we have knowledge and then we apply it properly, the result should be what? What's the end result of knowledge? What's that? That's part of it, yes. Well, here, I'll give you the Sanskrit, see if you can figure it out. Kamanam sukritasyahu satikam nirmalam palam palam. What's that? Yes, purification. One becomes purified. And then, if you work in the mode of passion and you become greedy, what's the result of that? What's that? Yeah, dukkham. Rajaso satikaha karmana sukritasya hu satikam nirmalam palam rajasa tupalam dukam and agena tamasa palam. And what's the result of working in the mode of ignorance? Yeah, you become, well, Krishna, Prabhupada translated as foolish. If you work foolishly and ignorantly and you work without any knowledge, the result is you become more foolish. In other words, everything we do is going to have a result. Either it's going to elevate us or degrade us to different degrees or help us become transcendental. Therefore, one should know what is the actual activities and what they bring and what's the most desirable thing to do. And what's the most desirable thing to do? Do something for Krishna. Of course, generally the devotees work in the mode of goodness. They work, we try to get knowledge so that we can become purified. We're trying to become purified from at least the modes of ignorance, passion, and even ultimately goodness. And the best purification, of course, is to come in contact with Krishna. That's part of our knowledge, that if we work in devotion and we work to please Krishna, and we do some service that's authorized by Krishna and his representatives, then the result is, as we become in contact with Krishna, as he reveals himself, then we actually become purified. At the same time, our original awareness of our who we are and who Krishna is awakened. So that's the most important purification. And if we don't do that, then usually we work in passion. We want sense enjoyment, either gross or subtle, which maybe we don't know the words to put it into the mood I'm working in, but someone else could probably tell us what the mode of passion, which part of passion I'm working in, or ignorance. Then we can know, yes, I'm actually working in passion and ignorance right now. Although I'm convinced that I'm working in a transcendental way, because after all, I change my dress and I change my address, so I must be transcendental. Anyone can look at my driver's license and see it's 197 Dang Street, so I'm officially transcendental. And I wear a dhoti and sari, therefore whatever I do must be sublime, because the whole world is changes when I put on a dhoti and sari. Everything becomes spiritual. And therefore, although others may criticize me, that's because they don't know that I've descended in human-like form. They don't know my transcendental nature, my supreme dominion over all things. So one has to be able to judge what the modes of nature are and which mode I'm working in, or if I'm working spiritually or transcendentally, what the qualities are, what the results are, and then we can see what the difference is. We should be able to experience. And if we're not experiencing what the difference is, what mode of nature we're working under. If we can't understand the difference, we're not getting any different experience, what mode of nature are we working under? Ignorance, yes. So is it possible that a card-carrying Hare Krishna can work in ignorance? Maybe. It appears like that. We don't know. If we're unconscious, we may think, well, I'm unconscious, so I get Krishna won't. He'll definitely help me because I'm unconscious, whatever I do. And because I'm so sincere, although I'm unconscious, certainly I'm going to get all the credit I deserve. Yes, we'll get all the credit we deserve. We'll stay unconscious. The whole idea is having the class is not to show how sincere we are, that we'll go through the austerity of sitting in a class and tolerate the speaker for a half an hour or whatever. That's not the idea. And the idea is not so we get prepared for prasadam to increase our fire digestion. The whole idea is that we can gain knowledge so we can see things more clearly so that we can actually make conscious decisions. We've heard someone say, whether it was Prabhupada or not, I don't know. But first become conscious, and then it's more easy to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, to become conscious enough to understand things clearly, and when we're supposed to understand them, not only during class, but we're supposed to walk out of class and carry the knowledge from the class into our daily lives and discriminate. And then not only discriminate, yeah, she's bad, he's bad, they're all bad. Now I see I've gotten illuminated. Excuse me, Prabhupada, I just wanted to tell you, you're bad. And you're worse than I thought you were. I read it in the Bhagavatam today. Or the other side is that, oh, you're all good, you're all perfect, I'm the most fallen, everything's perfect, I'm just fallen. And I'm so humble, I can't believe it. I'm just so humble, and everyone recognizes it because I'm glorifying everyone without any discrimination. It's all good. The politicians cheating people, oh, that's also good, everything's good. No, we have to have the proper discrimination according to time, place, and circumstance, and then how to assimilate it in a way that's reasonable, that puts it into perspective, that ultimately helps us know what's to be done and what's not to be done and when it's to be done. So that we can come to the platform of doing our activities out of devotion in all circumstances, because we know exactly what Krishna wants and he knows how he wants us to do it and how to see things. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna not only talks about knowledge, he also talks about many other things. Who here has read Bhagavad Gita? Okay, so those who have read Bhagavad Gita, who has read the 17th and 18th chapters of Bhagavad Gita? Who can remember what the names of the 17th and 18th chapters are? Well, raise it. So, yeah, okay, you? Yes. Okay, so now we're going to ask you a more difficult thing. What are in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes in those 17th and 18th chapters the three modes of nature pertaining to different types of activities and different qualities. So what are the activities and qualities that the three modes of nature Krishna describes, that are in the three modes that he describes? And raise your hand and, okay. Okay. Anything else? What's that? Austerity, yes. Yes.
And knowledge, action.
Worker.
What?
Worker. Work. But action is work. What's that? Well, he says the worker, the work. And he doesn't say endeavors. He gives knowledge, first of all, which is satika. What is it? Sarabhuteshu yenaikam, satva, bhavam avyam ikshite, avibhaktam vivakteshu, tajjnanam vidhi, satika. So one who is in the mode of goodness, with knowledge in the mode of goodness, he sees the one undivided nature in all living beings, although divided into many different souls. Souls are divided into many, but they're one undivided soul. That is, that they're all one in quality. So he gives knowledge in the mode of goodness and the mode of passion. And let's go back. In the 17th chapter, he starts with, first of all, he says, I'm going to tell you about food in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. And then he goes over charity, austerity, and what else? No. Yeah, well, that's in the 18th chapter. So in the 17th chapter, he goes over the food, then he goes over charity, then he goes over sacrifice, yeah. And then in the 18th chapter, he starts with knowledge. Then he goes into
initiation.
Well, he did start with renunciation. Yeah, there are different types of renunciation. And then he goes into intelligence and, well, there's charity, there's sacrifice, there is intelligence, there's the work, there's the worker, there's the determination, there's the buddhi, intelligence, and then he goes over, what have we not covered? Then happiness. Then he just goes into the happiness there. He concludes that. He says, Abhyasa sukham tvidanim shrinunam. Now hear from me. Sukham tvidanim shrinunam. Sukham tvidanim sukham sukhanam shrinunam. 18. Sukham tvidanam trividam shunume bharatarshava abhyasa ramate yatra dukantam chanu gachati. Now hear from me about the three different types of happiness, by which one, if we understand those, he can come to the end of all distress. Here it translates, sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Ultimately, what is the real point in the material world? What are we really looking for? We're looking for happiness. All right, it all, our work, our charity, our sacrifice, our knowledge, our whatever, it all culminates in trying to get some happiness. If you have all kinds of knowledge, how to become more and more miserable, it probably won't be very valuable. Yeah, I know how to become as miserable as possible in the shortest time. You can stay miserable practically forever. We already know that knowledge. So even the people who make themselves miserable, they're trying to become happy by doing it. They just don't know how to actually make themselves happy. So that's it. So these three modes are there. And if we get the proper discrimination of these three modes, that will help us see what mode of nature I'm in right now. Is my intelligence in the mode of ignorance? Is it in the mode of passion? Is it in the mode of goodness? Or is it transcendental? Am I seeing things the way Krishna describes them? So that takes some remembrance, isn't that right? That means during the day we have to actually think, God forbid. We have to actually step back for a second and analyze what we're doing. Do we have time for that? Of course not. There's not enough time in the day to think. We're just supposed to do it because Big Brother told us to do it. We just do it. We never think. We thought too much, our brain would catch on fire. No, but Krishna advises us to think what we're doing. That's why he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He didn't speak Bhagavad Gita to give us a book and go out and sell to make some money to support the temple. He gave it to us so we can read it and remember it and therefore utilize it. Just to read it has some value. To remember it has a little bit more value. To be able to utilize it in a meaningful way, that's what we're really supposed to be doing. In other words, you should stop and think what's going on. For instance, we want to do it in a practical way. Look at your work environment and see what mode of nature is it in. Is everything thrown all over the place? Is it such that I can't even find out, you know, where I just left my pen? It just merged with everything else. I put my pen down and it merged and I can't find it because everything's so disorganized. Or is it, okay, you know, I haven't dusted, I haven't moved anything, I haven't done anything for years because it looks all right to me. I can't see any dust unless I put my glasses on.
Or everything's so chaotic and disorganized that I have so many, just I'm piling things on to do more and more and more. I have so many things to do. I can't even figure out where to begin. There's just too many things to do. So better off to go home and go to sleep because it's so disturbing. Or is it very nicely organized and I have a systematic approach and I'm doing what's necessary at that particular time? Obviously, that's in the mode of goodness. Or am I everything so systematic and nicely done, and at the same time, I'm doing it to please Krishna? I'm seeing that all this belongs to Krishna, and I'm actually consciously trying to do whatever I'm doing to please Krishna. So that's spiritual. Obviously, if things are in darkness, or so if things are so chaotic and passionate, it'll be very difficult to do it in a devotional mood. But if things are nicely organized, neat, and systematically done, then we'll have a little bit more peace of mind. So it'll be much more likely we'll be able to do things in a devotional mood. And unless we come up to the devotional mood, then we may come to goodness, and goodness is simply the hope that one day we may come to a devotional mood. We may get enough knowledge to do things devotionally. So any questions about this? Comments? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.